here we go.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm
Koba. I played so much of that game.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not going to buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio.
If you haven't listened to the show for this long, they know that I don't give a fuck.
Ludicrous kill.
Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 123. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
This is the Father's Day edition, June 18th, 2006. The website is hwhq.com. You can email us at c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And the IRC channel is irc.oftc.net. The channel is Pound Gamer. And it's, we as promised, decided to do the, DS, like the buyer's guide episode or something of the sort anyway, and talk about some of the games that at least we have and that we've played quite a bit, and maybe even some of the things that we've thought about or are waiting for. That should be pretty interesting to talk about. But there was two emails that we had to get into first. There was one from, I got like a real name here, which is bizarre because it's a real name, and it's of somebody who's like a famous journalist name, but it's not them, it's just strange coincidence anyway. So I thought it was kind of strange when I saw it. It's about a Nintendo 64 emulator when I mentioned it before. Let's see, I meant to send this email right after 121, but I had some weird Gmail problem and then forgot about it until today. On show 121, C4 was reading an email about was that the email show?
121? It might have been.
I think it was. That's pretty funny. On 121, I was reading an email. I read an email about a Nintendo 64 emulator. He said that when he tried it, it only ran at 6 frames per second or something. I use an emulator on Linux called MUPEN64 that plays a lot of ROMs, and most of them run at 30 frames per second at least, and some run at 60 frames per second. Mario 64 runs amazingly well. This is all on an AMD Athlon 2200 Plus system with an NVIDIA TNT 2 Ultra video card that's 32 megabytes. And 512 megabytes of RAM. I don't know if the Windows version runs as well as the Linux version. I think it was originally developed for Linux, but it's definitely worth a try. Go to http://mupen64.emulation64.com for the download. Keep up the good work. That's from JG. Those are the initials. Well, fucking, you know, you're not the only person who didn't hear me mention what system this was on, what I was trying to run this on. It was actually the Nintendo 64 emulator on the PlayStation Portable.
Yeah, that one is a joke.
Right. My computer gets like 4 gajillion frames per second using, what the hell, Project 64 or something. Right. Not that I would play stuff like that because, you know, most of those ROMs, you know, you can't have, but of the games that I do own anyway.
Right.
Because my legal backup copies or whatever the hell the law says I have to claim and say and I mean, for reals.
All,
yeah. Moving on. This is from Juice. Yo, C4 and Kobar just got the DS Lite, and here are my impressions. First off, out of the box, the DS Lite comes off as a small work of art. One look at the machine and you can tell it is a quality piece of hardware. Upon inspection, it feels surprisingly sturdy and well made, although I must say I was expecting to see a certain fruit with a bite taken out of it somewhere on the unit. The shiny enamel finish is really slick and makes you want to whip it out, the DS, and scream, "I got a DS Lite, bitch!" Next, the buttons. Tons better than the original DS, of which I am a previous owner. They are a nice size and have a slight rubbery feel to them, which I feel is much better than the traditional hard plastic shit. Red pulsating thumbs, anyone? And seem to respond better. Control pad time. It is a fact that it is more comfortable. You're looking at your thumb like you want to tell. We just got through, like, hammering out some Mario Kart and some Bomberman.
It was actually last week. The original DS actually gave me my first gaming blister in, like, 10 years.
It's been a long time.
I thought my thumbs were like uber asbestos.
Asbestos.
Yeah.
Resistant.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But Yeah, and so I agree that the softer buttons are much better idea.
It feels nicer. It definitely does, and they stand up a little more, so it seems like they're easier to hit or something, like they're pressing better. Let's see. Control pad time. It is a fact that it is more comfortable as well as more responsive, because in the past I can recall rolling my thumb across it in different directions during gameplay for continuous movements, i.e. changing directions, and I would have to re-emphasize each direction instead of having my thumb use a fluid motion. You know what? That was something I mentioned before, and I wasn't quite sure, so sure about like the size of that thing, and I've gotten like incredibly used to it. Like, I would not trade it for anything in the world now. I thought it was too small originally, and now that I've had, like, tons of time with this thing, I'm hooked.
Yeah, a good example of what he's talking about is grinding in a Mario Kart. The boosting.
Right.
Because it's incredibly easier to use that little, more rocking
D-pad. Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
Than the clicky large one that the DS original had.
Now we just need, like, a Street Fighter game to come out for this thing, and I'm all set, because this thing has a nice directional pad on it.
Well, there's Guilty Gear.
Yeah, but I never really liked that much. It's fucking cheap. All right, let's see. The stylus, thicker, longer, and maybe it's me, but the tip of the new stylus seems a little softer than the originals.
Yeah, I think it just looks that way. I had the exact same thought. Yeah. When I looked at it, I thought, whoa, that's like soft rubber instead of that hard plastic.
Right. And no, it's like kind of translucent. It's just a different color now. It's
on real close inspection, they're like the same material.
Yeah. Let's see. Softer than the originals, of which I am assuming to reduce fucking up the touchscreen. Now for the screens. Fucking awesome. The variable brightness settings give the user a wide variety of environments to get down and dirty with their lights. In my opinion, the first and second brightness level present nothing new but are extremely clear nonetheless. The third and fourth settings are where the DS light truly shines. They are truly jaw-dropping and will probably be most gamers' default settings. The third brightness is perfect for indoor play, and the fourth for outside or in the car. Beware, if you play with fourth brightness indoors, your eyes will catch fire, but you will love every minute of it. The only thing kind of fucked up is the way the GBA cartridges stick out of the unit, but hey, at least they give you a nice filler one that actually connects inside, and it snaps firmly into place. There are other features like Wi-Fi, standard headphone jack, GBA compatibility, and some other shit I won't mention, but they were all on the original, so I won't go into detail. In conclusion, I feel the DS Lite not only warrants a new purchase, but also as a replacement for the original one if you have the cash. $130 out of $130, bitches! That's from Juice. Thank you very much. That's what we needed to hear, a little bit more support for the DS. Not that it's like lacking support, it's just nice to know that there is a bunch of gamers out there that are actually getting their hands on this also, other than just us. It's been like this crazy thing over here, which is pretty much all I've talked about for the last couple of weeks. And it's nice because we've been playing a lot of games, organizing some shit on IRC with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with people all over the damn world. Mario Kart, some Tetris, there'd be some other games if, you know, they supported the damn Wi-Fi. Like, I think Bomberman would be like the perfect game to have support Wi-Fi, but it just doesn't, so I'm kind of upset about that. But that's all right. On to the news. You're all over this. I don't even... You suggested this piece of shit here.
Oh, for those that haven't noticed, WoW has a free 10-day trial. I found it kind of interesting because if they have millions and millions of subscribers and they're all sticking to it, what the hell does WoW need to give away
10 free days for? Right. Well, I mean,
they would be like the first company in the history of like the world.
Hey, we have a thing that sells like crack. Let's give it away.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like it.
We have so many people that are waiting in line. Let's get more. I mean, that doesn't really fly with me. So I tend to think that this is possible evidence that WoW is like losing subscribers.
At least, well, right, okay.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because everybody's fucking tried this game.
Right.
I mean, if you're an MMOer, you've played this game.
You've probably tried this game, right. I'd say the chances are pretty slim that you haven't. I fought it for as long as I could before I finally gave in.
Besides, the 10-day, if you bought the game, it came with a 10-day free.
Right, yeah.
Which made total sense, because that's the first taste is free.
Absolutely.
But now they have, it's completely saturated, everybody knows about it. You have to be doing something.
Right. Something's going on there. Right, exactly. Blizzard's Reign of Terror is coming to an end, I hope. Now, you can go on with the next one, because I know fuck all about this one either.
Well, I don't either. But we also noticed that City of Villains put up another trial.
17 days.
So if you were interested in checking that out, you might want to look.
Both of those, we actually noticed over on the File Planet website. So yeah. I don't know if you had to have an account for both of them, or just one of the two, or both, or neither. I'm not actually sure.
Doubtful. The trials are usually just, we're putting up bandwidth.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's the betas that you need a key for, generally.
Right. Like a paying account for the File Planet. Gotcha. Okay. Another piece of news here, like real actual news. Louisiana. Oh, this is fucking terrorist Jackie Thompson here. Louisiana Democratic Representative Roy Burrell's HB 1381 bill covering violent video games has been signed into law by the governor. Okay, now this law takes effect right freaking now. And this is the one that actually fines people for selling video games to minors. This was, the measure proposed HB 1381, which was drafted with the help of controversial Florida attorney and anti-video game activist. Those are some fucked up words to have together. Jack Thompson allows a judge to rule on whether or not a video game meets established criteria for being inappropriate for minors and be subsequently pulled from store shelves. A person found guilty of selling such a game to a minor would face fines ranging from $100 to $2,000 plus a prison term of up to 1 year. My God. Needless to say, the Entertainment Software Association will likely be mounting a legal challenge to this bill in the very near future.
The part of this that I don't like is that it can be pulled from store shelves.
Right. The part I don't like is the prison term.
Well, right.
My God.
But, I mean, I don't sell games.
Right. No, I don't. But, like, the poor bastard that works at, you know, a place like GameStop or something, you know, and some, you know how these kids are these days. They're, like, 16, and they've got, like, you know, full beards from all the hormones and the milk they're drinking. It's kind of hard to tell, you know? And then this fucker has to deal with a prison term because he sold some punk Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You know, a prison term. I can understand a fine.
If it's on the shelves to begin with.
I'm unhappy. I am not pleased with this at all. Jackie Thompson, this is a victory in his court. This needs to get stopped, revoked, whatever the hell they got to do. Now, pretty much most of the damn show here has something to do with the DS, it looks like. Are we down to just like one thing that's not? Yeah, we are. Okay. That's our indie game, which, no, we're not abandoning the fans of the show. We definitely want to do the, indie game of the week or whatever. And just last show, it didn't happen. I don't remember why. What were the hell? Oh, we were
just really excited
about the DS Lite, right?
It was the first day that either one of us got our real hands on it.
Right. Well, it was out that day,
yeah.
So that was like, you know, breaking news. You see how awesome we are? How much like we keep on top of you guys? just for you. All right. Nintendo of America reports the DS Lite has sold more than 136,500 units on the first 2 days.
That's awesome.
That kicks ass. By comparison, DS Lite is selling faster than the launch of the Game Boy Advance SP, the first revision of the Game Boy Advance line, which was released in 2003 by more than 12%. Nintendo says retailers are reporting that sales of New Super Mario Bros. Doubled over the previous week, while sales of Brain Age Train Your Brain in Minutes a Day tripled over the previous week. The two games ranked as the number 1 and number 3 best-selling games in the U.S. this past May. DS games, are 6 of the 10 most sold games in Japan right now. Also, New Super Mario Bros. Sold almost 850,000 copies in the first few days. They passed over 1 million after the first week. And, Nintendo also says they can't even keep up production with the damn DS Lite out there, and they're going to increase production by 300,000 more units per month.
That's awesome.
That is sick. That is disgusting. Okay, now here is the sickest part about it. We got the numbers, the system sales from Japan for the week of the 5th through the 11th. Okay. Now, oh, and the year for 2006. Yeah. This is awesome.
Up to now.
Right, up to well, the 11th.
Half the year.
Right, so half of the year, this is how things are standing. Now, this blows my mind. Okay, for the week of June 5th through June 11th, the number one system sale, no surprise, obviously the Nintendo DS Lite, 132,027 units sold that week in Japan. Now, the number two spot for sales for that week, 21,656 sales go to the PSP. That's like a giant difference.
Yeah.
There. That's like 6 times. Okay? Number 3 was the PS2, 18,981. Number 4, the GBA SP, still selling 4,116 units. Game Boy Micro, number 5, 1,654 units. The regular Nintendo DS, number 6, 1,371 units. And now we get to the laughables here. The Xbox 360, selling 1,100 units at number 7. 8th place was the GameCube at 961 units that week. The Game Boy Advance. Now, I can't believe this is no backlight Game Boy Advance version.
I don't think I've even seen it on the shelves in, like, the last 2 years.
This is crazy. Sold,
here, anyway.
Right, right. Sold 36.
not 1,000, just 36. And the number 10 spot was the Xbox, sold 20. So for the year, though, the number one system is the DS Lite with almost 2 million.
No, over 2 million.
2.2. Yeah. It's almost 2.2 million.
Oh, right. Okay.
2,188,134 DS Lites sold. What's in second place there? The DS at 869,908 for the year. In third place, the PSP, 845,614. This thing is just destroying. This thing is just... It's that good, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And there's a lot of good games out for this. One of the things that we talked about earlier today was the number of good games on a system. And it occurred to me that there's about 10 games on the DS platform that, like, I must own right this moment. You know, like, I'm pretty convinced they are that solid of games. Maybe 11. I was thinking, because I don't have Advance Wars, but I have, like, that's the maybe, because I have, like, kind of issues with that, you know?
Right, right.
Metroid Prime... Or Metroid Pinball, whatever that is. I swear that could be fun, but I gotta like try it first because they might drop the ball. And then that Nanostray.
Right.
I'm buying that one tomorrow, dude. That game looks so cool. So
I'd just like to point out real quick that the DS in general is well over triple the sales this year so far than the PSP.
That's crazy. No, not quite. Not quite triple.
Yeah, the DS and the DS Lite are.
Oh, that's right.
If you
add them, okay. If you add them together, that's like about 3 million.
And the PSP is less than one.
Right. Okay. 845,000, and the DS Lite plus the DS. Right. Okay. Is over 3 million. Jesus God, that thing is just destroying stuff. The Xbox 360. I'm sure some people will actually be wondering. The Xbox 360 this year in Japan has only sold 52,938. About 53,000 of them. For the year.
The PS2 is still 690.
Oh my God. 1,000. 690,000 as opposed to 53,000. Yeah, Microsoft is still getting stomped. But, of course, you know, United States and European sales figures are going to be completely different.
Right.
Although, like, we can't find them for some reason. I think we have some kind of, like, mental deficiency or something.
Maybe.
Because I look everywhere and I can't pull them out. So... the example that we were using about the games and the number of games, at least the point I was trying to get across, at least, was when I looked at something like my GameCube. There's probably about 5 games on that I really actually wanted to play, some of which I found to be unplayable when I finally got them. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, that's kind of a bust, you know? It's like, it's a solid system. There was some good games. I'm missing out on a lot of good games, but the biggest problem with that system for me was it was more geared, a lot of the games that were fun, towards multiplayer.
Right.
You know, like you would have a lot of people in a room, and I just don't have that generally. You know, it doesn't happen.
The GameCube overall was a pretty big letdown.
So now I'm looking at, like, the DS here, the DS Lite, and I'm seeing a lot of the games, like, the single-player game is okay, but if you look at, like, the majority of the games, almost, it seems like the really, really cool ones are when you get a couple people involved. I mean, the most fun I've had in, like, months was just a little bit ago playing Mario Kart with the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
That was a blast, you know? And then playing Tetris Online, you know, with some of these guys on IRC and Mario Kart.
Luckily, when
unless you're playing Ardquack. That guy is fucking unbeatable.
But luckily for us, at least, we have a situation where we can play these DS games. Either the Wi-Fi,
right,
when we're home alone, or when I come over here, we got a few DSs to kick around with, and it's a very nice addition.
Yeah, this thing is like, I'm so stoked. It's just like, oh, this is what I needed right here. We're all on the same level. The problem we have when you're here, you've got this laptop, which is just a bit underpowered to play anything that we would play multiplayer on a computer.
Yeah,
this puts us...
And just the video card. It's a real
shame. Right, right, yeah. This electric laptop kicks ass, except the damn video card. But this puts us, you know, on a level playing field, everybody here. The controls are simple enough, so it's never like, oh, God, I can't figure this game out, you know, or whatever. It's just like an
everybody
amazing
has it on
little...
screen, you can kick back in the chair or the sofa.
Kick your feet
or whatever.
Up, yeah. I mean, it's just fantastic. So, the indie game for this week is Satan. Because it's that much fun, and I know...
I can't stop fucking playing. It's called Grid Wars 2, and it's actually, I'm pretty sure it's actually a ripoff.
Geometry Wars. Yeah, as close to a clone as we can get.
Right. And the graphics aren't quite the same, but as far as I can tell, the gameplay is exactly the same enemies, even with the same shapes. It's very close. And for those that haven't played Geometry Wars, basically, It's
the only reason to own an Xbox 360 at this point.
It's a $3 game.
Right. Yeah, you have to purchase this though. Right, like
it's
on,
like, it's like $3-5.
Yeah, something. It's pretty cheap.
It's one of the arcade games.
Oh, is it? The, oh, okay. The, I wasn't sure how that worked. It wasn't. Oh, okay.
No,
it, you go like the Xbox Marketplace or something.
Or the live, something.
Well, you're on live, right, but right. Is it like part of the Xbox Arcade thing?
Yes.
Or is it the Marketplace thing where you buy the game?
Well, they call it
Xbox Live Arcade. Or, yeah. Oh, okay. Xbox Marketplace Arcade Live Xbox.
I don't own one. I'm not sure where you go to buy it.
But we know it involves an Xbox 360
right.
And the interweb.
And basically, for those that don't know about Geometry Wars or Grid Wars, it's asteroids on crack.
Yeah, and that's all it is.
It's everything asteroids would have been had it happened now.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
And it's absolutely addictive as all sin. It gets really hard, but in that good way. Because when you pull something off, you're just like, oh my god!
Squeezing in between two enemies that are coming right for you.
Right, and you're like holding on to that controller as tight as you possibly can.
Which is
can.
Something to mention about this, about the controller support for this. You have to use a controller.
Right. Well, actually, there is a button. There's
oh, there is? Okay. I could have sworn you said you had to use a controller.
It can't work well.
Yeah, no, it
I
can't.
I mean, you played this game. Imagine right. Using it with a keyboard
no
and mouse.
No fucking way. It wouldn't happen.
No.
So, I could see using WASD to move and
then maybe
the arrow keys.
Or maybe the mouse to switch where you're...
Shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. No, buy a fucking controller.
The controller is just makes it so
Both
much
Both of us use Xbox 360 wired controllers to play this, and it plays really well.
Oh, yeah.
With that, although it's interesting because you realize just how inaccurate your controller is, you know?
Yeah,
the
dead zone really becomes apparent with this game.
But as far as, like, I mean, the fun, it's just that old school... Shoot 'em up. Like you said, yeah. It's asteroids, okay? Yeah. Except for, like, words almost cannot describe the graphic intenseness that this game is. Like, you're this bright colored little, like,
ship
outline, though,
yeah.
Of a ship, though, right? You're not, like, detailed, you're an outline of a ship. It looks like fucking asteroids with, like, more color than black and white.
Right.
And now there's, like, a billion things on the screen trying to come at you, and you can move around the screen. You're not stationary or anything, and you have, and one of your sticks moves you, and one of them aims your shots, like,
right.
Smash TV. Controls.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Like, so you have one, so you can be going away from somebody and shooting behind you and then shoot up all of a sudden and never have to change direction or whatever. It's really, really cool.
The particle engine, especially in the actual Geometry Wars, is intense. It is really,
yeah.
Really pretty.
You see some really nice shit.
Yeah, but even the clone, if you don't have a 360 and this is free, you want to go pick it up and check it out. Even the clone has some really nice particle effects going on.
It really does. You also have a bomb.
Right, because
if you get to basically too surrounded by dudes, you have like a bomb, and then of course it just basically wipes the screen.
Right, it's actually in gameplay, it acts like an extra life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it wipes the screen just like death does, and it turns your
multiplier
your point multiplier back to one. So it's the same as dying, but. You didn't die.
But you didn't lose a life, right. And you just have to hit it before, obviously, you die. What else can we say about that? There's power-ups, too, that float on the screen every so often. Do they come out of enemies, or they just float on the screen?
It depends on point values. I gained 25,000 points, so now a
multi-shot
item,
comes up,
right.
Or extra cannon or something.
And I think it's random as to
what it is. Yeah, because it seemed like I was getting different.
And
shit.
there's an extra shot that there's one that makes you shoot faster.
Shields.
There's shields. There's
extra
stuff
lives.
That makes you shoot from like all angles.
Oh,
like
right.
You're shooting from the sides and the front,
right.
or from the back.
You can get extra bombs and men too.
Extra bombs and men.
Okay. Okay.
There's one that's ricochet, which is really awesome because you shoot at the walls instead of the dudes, and you just blanket the entire screen with ammo.
It is wild.
And,
it's nuts. There's like black holes. You can even change the way the grid looks. I don't know if you can do this on the real Geometry Wars, but on Grid Wars too, you can like change the layout of the grid from just like a standard kind of like a blue grid to like I had like this diamond pattern of red lines thing. It's really wild. Like I can't describe it. You have to go check this game out, and it's totally free to download.
Yeah, if you go to incitti.com/blitz, BLITZ.
That has to be a capital B.
Yeah.
That's the only trick to it. It's http://incitti.com/BLITZ. That was the only trick to it that we had to do. I had to make sure that we made sure to put that because I tried just to see and it has to be a capital B. There's a couple other games there, but the one worth checking out is Grid Wars 2.
The other one that looks kind of interesting is there's a Marble Madness clone.
Oh, right.
And I kind of liked Marble Madness. So.
I didn't. I was actually looking at the Miss Pac-Man clone they had, Blitzman or whatever the hell it was called. This game is totally free, and I'd say as far as complaints... The user interface could use just a little love.
Yeah. The control setup is all screwy, at least for the 360.
Even that screen is a little like, holy crap. It's a little like, just here's some technical stuff that you're looking at.
Well, yeah, like,
figure it out.
90% of what this game is the engine.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about little neon lines and not very much. It's the particle engine and the physics engine in general that really is what this game is. Which is probably why they called it Geometry Wars to begin with.
Right, right. It does it incredibly well. Like, I just... my dumbass is the one who come across the link for it and posted it in IRC a couple days ago. Hadn't touched it until just like a couple hours ago. Sadly, some people have been getting kind of hooked on it, and I'm like kind of feeling bad, and I see why. This is fat.
Well, I'd heard Mocker and Rybo and some other people.
Kizzle,
IRC,
I think, maybe.
In IRC, maybe.
Probably.
He's
the one who always rides our ass anyway about the indie games. So.
Well, no, this was about Geometry Wars, though.
Oh, okay, right.
I was like, oh, man, that sounds really cool. I really like that.
Oh, Zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you posted that, and I was like, oh, my God. And I played hours gone to this game.
And here I am, the disbeliever, and the only reason I even like thought to see the link and throw it into IRC was I thought, people have been talking about this. They might enjoy it. And now here I am. Condemned to play this game all weekend. I know it's going to happen. I are screwed. But it's a lot of fun. Absolutely go check this out. It's definitely worth it. And it's worth every penny. It's free. Now, in our actual commercial games segment here, basically we had a pile of the DS games that we basically have and play quite a bit of. And then, you know, what sucked was I did want to add a few things that we were looking forward to, but we just might not have time for those. So maybe we'll just even slip in little comments there like, you know, Star Fox might be kind of fun and blah, yada, yada. Stuff like that. But and I wanted to talk about Nanostray, but the idea was to have it and to have played it for the last couple hours today. Somehow that did not happen. But if this is, I guess you could look at more of this as like a DS shopper's guide for games that basically a lot of people have just recently picked up a DS, particularly probably a DS Lite, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that's not the case with everybody. Quite obviously this thing is very popular, but a lot of our listeners are probably on the fence about it.
Right.
Or, well... C4 is saying he likes his PSP better. Kobar leans towards the DS. Now, I must say, as hard as this is to admit, I still think that the PSP is a better system. Like, I have more fun with the damn PSP than... Like, okay, the DS is a fucking wondrous machine. However, the PSP, for all it's what intended for, is absolute garbage, shit warmed up, and then drove over. However, for everything the PSP is not supposed to be, it does it better than anything else.
Oh,
I do not think anybody, and I shouldn't say this because I don't have one, but from everything I've heard about the GP32X and all that and the GP2X and all that, it sounds like they're pretty much ass compared to a PSP. It really seems like, why the fuck would you buy that if you could get yourself a PSP and use all the homebrew shit on it?
Because to do that requires like $350 investment.
To do what?
To get a PSP.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so, huh?
If you...
Yeah, but the GP2Xs aren't cheap.
Well, I'm sure they're not, but I mean, if you're gonna do the homebrew stuff, you need at least a gig.
I've spent more on a DS than I have on my PSP, though.
True.
With all these fucking games. Granted, this cost of the system is what, down to $200 now. Then you need to go out and buy like a 1 gigabyte card. That's probably $75. Yeah, they're not $250 anymore. They're $199.99. In the U.S. anyway, for the PSP. So maybe you're looking at like $270, about $300, we'll say, throwing tax and whatnot. About $300. But look at, you know, the DS Lite, I'm about $300 in. 8 games and the Lite and accessories. It's because I'm a girl. I keep buying stuff.
Yeah, but you have a really good gaming machine.
The PSP kicks ass for games, especially now that the new SNES emulator is out, and it actually rocks.
Yeah, but
I was playing Secret of Mana about 3 days ago. DS sitting right here, DS Lite sitting right here with about five games. And I played Secret of Mana for about 2 or 3 hours.
Which you could have done on your computer.
Which I, yeah, I could have, but there's something nice, like when I gotta get up and take a shit, I can take the PSP with me.
Which is nice.
Uninterrupted gaming is what it's all about. It's as close to the toilet seat as I'm ever gonna, like the toilet office chair as I'm gonna get, is being able to take my shit with me.
Don't say that.
Wait, no, take my fun with me.
Someday it will happen.
I'll tell you what, it's awesome too, because I've sat here and like, I'm sorry, I have to admit, Raibo, you know how many times I've gotten up and taken a crap while we were playing Tetris? Thankfully, my Wi-Fi router reaches my bathroom and I'll just wander off in there. And I actually use brightness setting 2 when I'm in the house on the DS Lite because it is considerably brighter than the DS on its on setting, I guess. Just the second brightness level. And, it's awesome in your bathroom. There's no lights in there, and 2 is all you need. 3 is, like, too bright in total darkness.
In total darkness, sure.
Yeah. 3, I like, you know, pretty much with, like, an overhead lamp or whatever.
In fact, the regular DS is, like, plenty bright.
Right, it is.
In total darkness.
It is, it, right, it is. But that fucking DS Lite screen is just amazing. And I've actually found myself using my DS, because I basically take it with me everywhere I go now, and I've been using it outside quite a bit, and I find that you have to crank it up to brightness 4.
Oh, sure, you can't see the DS.
You no? Oh, really?
The regular one? No.
Oh, you know, I try because I go out, I go outside here, and I'm holding it, and I'm like, I'm on the porch, and I can't see.
You're in the shade.
Right.
If you're in direct sunlight, you can't see a damn thing. See it at all.
Right. The only downside of using the DS Lite on the brightness setting 4 is obviously your battery life goes to shit.
Right.
I was outside playing Mario Kart a couple of days ago, sitting in my car out in like total bright light in the middle of the day, and I couldn't see a damn thing. I crank it up to 4, I could see it, but it was kind of like crappy, but at least I could
watch
play.
Out. Yeah.
You know, right, yeah. So
there's technical limitations to an LCD screen. I mean,
right. But I'll say this, like, okay, we have perfected the screen now.
Mm-hmm.
Between the PSP and, which that screen's a hair better than the DS Lite screens. It is.
If only because of size.
I, you know, okay, I'll give you that. But, you know, the resolution's better on it too. Right, which may play into the size, but they could have made
DS. You're having much larger hardware push the graphics.
Right.
I'm not so sure that's necessarily the actual screen.
Well, the resolution is nicer on them. That's on the PSP screen. That's for sure. And I took a couple of photos to try to compare, and it looks like the PSP screen on its fourth brightness is just like, okay, if you look at the DS versus the DS Lite on 1, you know how it's like you can't quite tell the difference, but you can actually tell the DS is actually just like a hair brighter?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not like on a scale of 1 to 100, you're looking at like 2 more notches.
Right.
The PSP seems to just barely edge out the DS Lite on its 4. And I mean, so little that you wouldn't notice it, but here's the kicker. The PSP cheats. It has to be plugged in to use brightness setting 4.
Right.
Okay, you can only use 3 when you're using it, which is plenty fucking bright, I tell you. But that PSP is a fucking wondrous device. I love it. But this is about the DS Lite today, or the DS and its games. So I just wanted to kind of make that clear, though. I still am sitting on the side of the PSP. I love that fucking thing. Okay, in 5 years, I'll still be using a PSP. In 5 years, I can see me using...
If it doesn't break out and break down.
I sure hope not. Because that's the pisser, is if it broke, I wouldn't replace it. Because I can't. Unless I was like, to buy a used one, with like an old ass firmware or something.
They can't break, you can break down the firmware.
From 2.0 down to 1.5. I haven't seen anything that goes from like 2.7, although I have seen some homebrew things that will run on that. Now, I've kind of fallen out of the loop because it's like once I got myself to the 1.5 firmware, I'm kind of where I need to be for almost everything I want to do with it.
And you already have a lot of the software and it's working.
I don't want to play any of the actual PSP games. I have what I want to use, you know, right. Wi-Fi sniffers and weird ass shit like that. And that all works just fine on the 1.5, and that's what I want. Now, my understanding is there is ways to run some homebrew on like later versions. I mean, like 2.7 or something, or 2.6, but it seems messy. Like, I haven't quite read up on it yet, so I'm not exactly sure, but it seems like all kinds of weird and not so crystal clear as it is with mine. And that's why if I had to replace it, I'd be just, like, destroyed, you know? Like, no!
Sony, as far as their gaming systems, don't have exactly the greatest...
It's a PS2 Lite.
Yeah.
That's what that thing is. As far as, like, the games they're putting on the system, and it doesn't work well.
I mean, the quality of the hardware. I mean, PS2s, they break down like fucking
right, they're
mad.
Shit.
And so, I'd be a little worried.
Well, I know my UMD drive on this thing will last forever. I never use this. I've actually killed a memory card, though, somehow. I'm not sure how that happened. But in any case, our first game that we want to talk about the DS Lite, and it's freaking uberness. I wanted to start at the top. The rest of them aren't in any particular order, but the first one was. This, to me, is the reason to own a DS, and it's Mario Kart DS. This game is basically the most perfect Mario Kart game I've ever played, and probably the best racing game I've ever played. And it beats out something like Burnout because of like the fat multiplayer. Yeah. I can take a crap and play with somebody in Japan. You can't beat that.
And there's something just really fun about the way the items work and then just
they cheat.
Yeah. And just like you're gonna win, and all of a sudden like 8 red shells just come right up your ass.
Right. And sadly, the part of Mario Kart no matter how good of a racer you are, a lot of the time you get screwed by dumb luck, which is, it's like such bullshit.
Well, yeah, but as long as you're in the spirit of things, you right. scream, you yell, you oh my god, that was fucking...
Yeah.
And you just have a really good time with the cheapness.
Yeah, exactly. And with the like, cheating, it's like it keeps it fun. Like even like races where you're getting completely smoked, you're still probably having a good time because you know the guy that you're trying to beat is getting banana peels and green shells, and you've got lightning bolts and fucking red shells and spike shells. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're just ready to lay down, you know, some ass kick, and sure enough, you can catch up somehow. You know, it's unless you're playing that Ardquack. You can't beat him. You can't touch the guy. He's fucking invincible. It's fucking amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my life. But this seriously is like the best DS game ever, period. I don't think this game will be outdone. I do not think there will be a more perfect DS game on the DS or the DS Lite in its lifetime. I don't. This is that good. There is nothing that I can see that will be. And it's clearly the best Mario Kart game ever. You have your standard, like, 4 tracks for 4 circuits, you know, mm-hmm. which everybody that plays Mario Kart is used to. You have, what, the Mushroom Cup, the Flower Cup, the Star Cup, and the Special Cup. Right. Each one has 4 races, and it totals up points that they give you different points based on, you know, what place you won. And you race 8 people. Now, on this one, so you get your 16 brand new tracks. It also pulls in 16 old tracks for the Retro Circuit, which I can't remember what the courses are. Shell, Leaf, something else and something else.
There's a fire flower in there somewhere.
Okay. And then what's the other one? Well, whatever the case it is, probably, I don't know. But, whatever it is, there's a whole other 4 circuits with, 4 courses from each of the previous versions of Mario Kart. You can't beat that unless you handpick the courses yourself. Now, I may disagree with some of the courses they've picked, but it's still way cool to be able to play courses you played in the past.
Right, and a lot of them are some of our favorites.
Right, absolutely. Like the Nintendo 64 Choco Mountain. I love that course. That's on there. You get 4 from the Super Nintendo version, the original old school. You get 4 from the Nintendo 64, 4 from the Game Boy Advance, and believe it or not, 4 courses from the GameCube version even. Mm-hmm. Granted, they got a fucking Baby Park, one of them, on there, yeah. which I hate. What a waste of space that one is. But, I mean, still a lot of people love it. I just think it was actually, that course seemed to be a lot more fun on the GameCube itself. I think it was just because you had more shit flying around or something. I don't know. There's something different about it. But, in any case, it's still a blast. So now, on top of that, you have, you know, 50cc, 100cc, 150cc, and this is essentially difficulty when you're racing against the computer single player. And then you also have mirror mode, which everybody's familiar with, where basically you run the courses, like, reverse. Not backwards, they're, like, reversed.
Right.
And, you can actually play wireless with 2 to 8 people in the same room, and over Nintendo Wi-Fi connection, 1 to 4. Now, that's the only place where I get to, like, ding this game. And that's because, and that's why it gets a 34 out of 35 from me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason is because when you're trying to hook up a game on Nintendo Wi-Fi, I can't ding it for the friend code thing, because that's gay, and that's like a whole Nintendo DS thing anyway, right?
Right.
So that's just the world we're working in here, okay?
That's a Nintendo Wi-Fi ding.
Right, exactly. It can't not be a game thing. The problem is that it takes goddamn forever a lot of the times to get the games together, mm-hmm. and mid-race, all the time, people drop out. People that aren't even like, okay, granted, a lot of people drop out because they're sore losers, but I mean, people get disconnected for no good reason. I mean, I have personally sat here in this room and watched 2 people play, and, you know, just have one of the 2 people drop off for absolutely no reason. Didn't move, didn't get too far from the access point or anything. No reason at all, somebody drops off. So whatever the case of that is, though, that very well may not be Nintendo Wi-Fi fault that people drop off, okay? That's fine. But the fact of the matter is it takes too long to get a game going. Now, there's, like, not even any lag or anything. It's amazing. You know, they did a hell of a good job.
Yep.
I guess the only other thing that kind of bugs me is when you're on Nintendo Wi-Fi, you can't hold an item behind you. Like, you can if you're playing locally and single player. You can hold down the L button. You can, you know, keep like a red shell or a blue shell or a green shell behind you and hold on to it for defense. When you're online, you can't. I imagine it's like a lag issue. It wouldn't be quick enough to know if you let go of it or whatever, you know, whatever. Right. So,
but that's a shame because that's a very basic part of
Mario Kart. I know. It makes it rough because you try to do it because you're used to it so much, you know. But it's still incredibly cool that you can pretty much go where the hell you want and play people from all over the world at Mario Kart. I mean, that's what we need. Easier multiplayer. You know what I mean? Like, just you pick it up, you turn it on, and you're playing people from all over the world with what it seems like essentially no lag. You know, whatever they did a great job of making it seem like it's just there's no lag there. I'm sure there is quite a bit, but they don't make it appear that way to you. Right. It's fantastic.
And I'm sure the style of game helps.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're playing some FPS.
Right.
Every little bit of lag is...
Yeah, I wonder how that works on, like, Metroid Prime Hunters.
Yeah, I don't know. But, like, you're playing an MMO, there could be quite a bit of lag before you even feel it.
Yeah, that's true. That's
compared
true.
To an FPS. So the type of game does matter.
Something like this does really well, though. I mean, this game gets a 34 out of 35 for me. I had to force you to purchase this today, though, because he was leeching off a...
I had it, though.
Right, right.
Like
Mrs. Barr.
Right. The girlfriend had it, and
so all of
she
us...
didn't really play it, and so I was just playing hers. But I needed my own. Need to not, like, borrow hers, and it's nice to actually be Kobar and not Handy Stuff.
Right, and not have a little purple bunny rabbit as your icon. But, you know, I mean, on top of that, like, let's say you can actually play with people who don't have the game, you know, locally Wi-Fi, and it's still pretty cool, but you're limited to, like, two circuits or something, or four circuits,
not
or two,
a lot of
I think it's two circuits.
And the people that don't have the cart are stuck with, like, a Shy Guy.
Oh, right, you don't have your character either. That's right. Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that. So, I mean, there's definitely incentive to own this game. So, and it's worth it. It's worth essentially every penny. I'm rating it higher than what I paid. I paid 30 and some change. Like,
right.
I paid 30 plus tax. And it's a $35 game, though. And I'm saying 34, flat out. This game is near perfect. This game is amazing.
Definitely.
The next amazing game... is New Super Mario Brothers. Now, which we covered this one at length, like an hour on a previous show just recently, so it looked like two shows back. It's the email episode. Skip to like an hour and 15 minutes in, and what?
That's just what you have in the notes.
About Mario Brothers?
Already covered. You buy now!
I didn't even notice that. Yeah. You have to buy this game. I mean, New Super Mario Brothers is fabulous. It is good. It is a really amazing game. I gave it a 33 out of 35 dollars.
I would go about that for actually different reasons.
Right. My issue with it was incredibly fun, but it's the kind of game that's like breaks itself on its own success. It's the kind of game where you sit down and it's so good you don't stop playing until it's over. Mm-hmm. So it almost seems like it's over a little too quick. And you go play through the mini games, you go try to collect all the coins, you go try to unlock all the things, and there's nothing else to do, but you want more. You've gotta just give me a second spin through it with more difficult enemies or something. And you don't have anything. So, it gets dinged $2 for there, but which isn't like even a real thing. Like I said, this also, just like Mario Kart, I paid $30 for it, plus tax. But it's a $35 game, so I put it down as 33 out of 35. Worth every fucking penny.
I would say about the same thing because of missed opportunities. Like, they have all those mini games that are on the cart. The Mushroom Houses should have used those.
Right, right.
And that sort of thing would have been really cool.
That would have been friggin' awesome.
Yeah, and it would have given the Mushroom Houses a little bit more stuff. And, like, they could have been unlocked.
There's only three of them.
Yeah.
And then, yet they had built an army of other games into this game and didn't pull from that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
It's sitting there on the cart. And sure, like, the idea of the added difficulty where they just like switch out where enemies are, like make harder stuff in easier stuff locations.
Not even where enemies are. All they need to do is change, you know, like just like original Super Mario Bros. 1, I thought would have been fantastic, where the enemies are in the same spot, but like the Goombas are now Beetles, which are way fucking hard, you know, like I think it would have been cool. Just it would have been that much harder to play, and it would have been awesome.
And I would put that under the lost opportunity category
right.
that I'm talking about.
Some kind of second quest replay or something like that. Yeah, definitely, definitely. But it's still an absolutely fantastic game. No reason to not buy this game. None whatsoever. It's worth it. Now, the third game that we had decided to bring up here was one that I guess we did talk about before quite a bit, was Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, which is actually getting to be pretty hard to get a hold of these days. But I still managed to find a copy in a store last week, brand new even. And, of course, I had to pick it up. And it was the Games and More Entertainment Radio 2005 Best Adventure Game. So, you know, that makes it worth it right there. You know it's a good game. And didn't Mario Kart make Best Racing Game?
Yep,
Mario Kart DS. So you have to buy these games. We're telling you right now. So the Castlevania game, though, limited use of the stylus, which we mentioned before when you reviewed it before.
Right.
But that was quite a bit ago. That was quite some time ago.
They shouldn't have used the stylus at all.
I think you're right. After playing it myself and using the stylus, it's like, why the fuck am I doing this in the middle of this?
It's not that big of a deal. There's a nice, healthy pause before you need to touch the screen before it times out. So it gives you time to pick up the stylus, and you really don't have to rush yourself.
Okay.
So it's done well. It just didn't need to be.
Right, definitely. Definitely. Then there's those weird ice blocks you can break with the stylus, too. Those kind of piss me off because, you know, they use them like I'm on a moving platform careening at them, and all of a sudden, oh, I gotta grab my stylus really quick. Well, lucky on the DS Lite, it's way quick to pull the stylus out because of the location. I didn't really run into the problem on the DS Lite, but on the DS, I did stumble a couple of times, and I was like, damn it. And I just started keeping it out. But it definitely seems like they shouldn't have used it. But the game is actually pretty fun. You have, like, this giant castle to explore, tons of weapons. You can upgrade, like, knives, swords, different types of swords, fucking... Oh, there's boomerangs, guns, fucking fist weapons, which I'm a big fan of. I love the fist because it's quick. Right. You know, you can slide, and you can double jump. You get all these crazy powers and abilities.
That's the best thing about the weapons, because they all have different power versus different quickness.
Right.
And so you can decide, well, how much power am I willing to give up to be able to attack quickly?
Right.
And you could also very, very quickly switch between two.
Right. A nice
setups.
Addition to the game was that they give you, right, a second setup, and you hit one button, and all of a sudden you're wearing completely different armor if you want, so you're specced out differently, and you have a slow ass weapon or whatever weapon you switch to.
Right.
Right. I mean,
so you can spec yourself out for, like, small, quick enemies against giant, powerful enemies.
Right. Basically, I use the slowest weapon and the fastest weapon on two different things, because I cannot stand using any weapon other than the fastest thing when I'm cruising around the castle, because there's a pause when you swing.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you jump and you swing, you have to stop for a moment, and I can't handle that. I got to keep moving. So
I like the rapier for my...
Is it too slow?
No.
I can practically walk and punch.
Well.
That's why I like that, because I go through it.
And then I use a big old battle axe.
Oh, really? I haven't actually used the axes. I've been using, like, the claymore or something.
I like the axe.
Obviously, I'm not too far, but as you kill things, you get, like, spirits and shit, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm trying to figure this out, and I've pretty much decided I just have to read the manual, because I'm getting lost. I don't know what to do, and I'm lost.
Right.
I've wandered not all over the castle, but, you know, quite a bit around. It's neat how they use the second screen. The top screen is actually, you can use it at the map. Now, if I remember playing Area of Sorrow on the fucking Game Boy Advance SP, and goddamn it, you spend half your time hitting start to pull up the fucking map, because, you're trying to figure out where the hell to go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one, you can set the map to the top screen, so you don't have to fucking pause all the time. I mean, it's beautiful. Like, this two-screen thing, not just some lame-ass gimmick. The stylus, very well may be some lame... Yeah, right, exactly. On some games, it just...
In some games,
yeah,
it really works, though.
Some games, it's fucking awesome. It is genius.
But sometimes it is a little bit gimmicky, but the dual screen most definitely is not.
I don't want to go back to not having that now. Like, there's no way. I'm too hooked on that. That is way cool. And let's see, what else here? Okay, the biggest thing for me was Castlevania. They put out what? Circle of the Moon or something like that. Area of Sorrow, and maybe even another one on the Game Boy Advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this Dawn of Sorrow out. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, another handheld Castlevania? It can't be, you know, sequelitis. This can't be worth it. Amazingly enough, there is enough stuff that warrants a new game in this. And I hope they can keep that up. I mean, the list of items is huge and stuff that you can get.
I would say that it only warrants it for the very, very hardcore fan or the people who have not played a lot of
the other ones, right.
Like, if I had played all of those, I'd be a little bored of it by now.
Right, right. Now, see, I had only played one before. I played that Area of Sorrow and freaking loved it. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me, but one consideration is exactly what you just said. What if you've gone through a lot of these? Is it really worth it? I think they added enough shit to do it.
Right.
I think they pulled it off.
It just depends on where you are in the fan.
Right, yeah.
Stress.
Definitely. However...
This also has a lot of that stuff that you were talking about in Mario Brothers. It has a lot of the end game type
Right,
stuff.
Unlockable shit and things right. to collect. And
Things like being able to run through all the bosses in one go.
Right, right.
And like you have to be able to survive all the way to the end fighting every single boss.
Right, and see, that is incredibly awesome. Incredibly awesome. However, I did not find it to be a perfect... I had a few issues when I was playing with it. Just it was fun, but it wasn't like Area of Sorrow fun for some reason. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I've done it already, you know, or what. I'm not so sure what it is.
Certainly a consideration. It might be.
Maybe. It might be that I'm completely lost most of the time. It's weird. I have this like, well, I need to just start over from scratch feeling about this game. And if you look, I'll have to show you where I am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not very far, but like... I've been playing for hours, but I'm wandering around.
Well, I certainly do plenty of that when I was playing.
I'm kind of like, I wish I had some kind of direction.
All of a sudden you stumble across where you're supposed to be, and oh!
Right.
Right on!
But sometimes it's not that easy, though. You know, like, you've walked past a place 27 times before you realize, oh, I can go over there. That's why, but it's still, it actually is that good. Even when you're wandering around, I'm having a good time.
And that's part of what the game is all about, finding those little nooks and crannies and...
And wandering around is a good thing because you actually collect like souls from the things that you kill anyway, and right. you powers up your special abilities, which you earn from those souls anyway. So it's actually pretty cool. I mean, it's the game does so many things right, but it's incredibly hard to find now. It's I gave it a 30 out of $35.
I would give it about that. It's tough with only a $35 window.
I know.
50
yeah,
50 is easier.
Right, it is. I know, but we're working with what they give us here.
So yeah, you know, like 30, 32 is probably what I would give it.
Okay. Okay. That brings us to Brain Age, a game that I picked up basically because it was kind of free. And it was, it's $20 now. It's the first one. What the hell is it called? Brain Age, Train Your Brain in Minutes a Day. Mm-hmm. And they were actually giving this away with a coupon that I actually had a link to on the front page of the website for the last couple of days. It actually expires today, but if you buy a DS Lite, which you already should have because I guarantee you they're sold out wherever the hell you are, this game you can pick it up for free at a Best Buy or a Circuit City.
Right.
And unfortunately, I did not have the coupon when I first bought my DS Lite, so 2 days later I got I had the coupon right after we got home, and I saw that. So I brought it back, returned it, you know, did the whole shady customer service thing, and, you know, didn't even have the DS with me. You know, just went down to the receipt, and we did
Is that actually a new light, or did you just...
No, it's the same light. I left it at home that day. I had it here, and then I just went down there with the receipt, picked up Brain Age, had them return it on paper, resell it to me, scan the coupon in, and
you only got
that
because you worked there.
No, I'm sure. Well, yeah, probably.
Probably. You knew the person that was doing it.
Yeah, but I'm sure they would have done it for probably anybody too. I'm fairly certain. But so I ended up getting that for free. It's a $20 game, and basically this is just like little short mini game, like training type things, like training, basically not training, more like puzzlers that kind of make you think.
They're simple things that it's designed to make your brain do simple computations quickly.
Right.
And it forces blood to flow through your brain fast and cause a lot of neurons to fire quickly. And it's supposed to basically work your brain like
right.
a muscle.
Exactly, which is way cool because I've gotten in the habit of doing it first thing in the morning to get my dumbass started. I've discovered that, like, no amount of caffeine gets me going right away. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because I need, like, you know, 8 gallons of it.
Solid caffeine.
Yeah, exactly. But this game actually does kind of help me wake up a little bit. Of course, it hurts my score, but, you know, it's still fun and it still kind of gets me going, and it's quick. You can...
Well, and the score is not really the point.
Right.
I mean, sure it is, but
right.
the way you're using it is actually how one should use
right.
it.
Right, and they use the score for motivation to come back and play right. more, you know. So basically, one of the first things you can do is... they give you 20 math questions, but they're very simple. You know, 8 plus 2, 7 times 3. You know, they don't get very complicated. It's addition, subtraction, and multiplication. That's it. There's no division in the little quick ones, at least that I've seen yet. There's like 20 games or so, and they unlock it as you play, not based on your score, but over time played.
Right.
So, like, I've only been able to play it for like 4 or 5 days so far, and I missed a day in there, so I've only got like 5 or 6 games unlocked. And as I play, like in a week, it'll unlock another game. And it's really cool because you have like this little floating head guy, the guy who like come up with the idea. And he's with you like the whole step of every step of the way. It's
crazy Japanese doctor.
Yeah, it's nuts, but it's pretty cool because he's totally got like a little personality. Like he laughs, he makes jokes and shit, you know. And it's weird because like he'll ask you random shit. Like I turn it on and it's all draw a hippopotamus. I'm like, what? So, and that didn't even happen until like day two or something. I was like, what the fuck is this? So I'm drawing, and then it's like, okay, now draw Africa. So I draw Africa. And then it's like, you know, draw a fucking, you know, a dragon. It asked me to draw a dragon today. And I was like, well, awesome. So I drew a dragon head with fire coming out, right? And I was kind of making a joke about my dragon has fire, you know. And you hit next again, and then it shows you pictures of what it actually looks like. And, you know, the whole point was, he's like, it's hard to draw things off of memory. And it's funny because, like, you know, maybe I didn't make the hippopotamus ears small. But they should have been, you know, or whatever. And it was funny because the dragon, they show his awesome dragon, and it's like, focus on the fiery breath. And I was like, ah, my dragon has fiery breath. It was way cool. It was just, it's really well done and entertaining as all hell. I really like the little math questions. You hold the DS sideways, by the way, like mm-hmm. a book. It's kind of bizarre. And you draw with the stylus. The whole thing is done with the stylus and the microphone. Now, one of the like quiz type things that you can do is, I'm sure everybody's seen this game where like it'll show you a word. Like, let's say the word is the word blue, but it's in red colored font, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to say to the DS red.
Right.
You don't read the word, you read the color. And you get one, and you have to say it correctly, then it goes to the next one, and it picks up on the microphone. Now, I've noticed a little issue with saying blue. You say blue, he says you're wrong. A lot of the time. Now, what I have noticed in my experience is it's the first time. Only that first one fucks me. So, you know, I'm going along, red, yellow, black, red, yellow, red, blue. And it's like, wrong, blue, wrong, blue, wrong, blue, wrong, blue. Okay, and move on. And I can get the rest of the blues right every time. Mm. I've noticed saying, as if I was saying balloon, he would pick it up. I haven't tried it yet to say balloon, but I might. Because it's just easier to say, because I'm trying to say it like balloon.
Right.
As if I'm just like saying part of balloon. And he seems to pick that up a little better. So I'm trying to get used to saying that, but it's just, I mean, it's still a lot of fun, even though it kind of screws up, you know?
And that's actually a great game to play because it's forcing your brain to work in a way that it doesn't on a daily basis.
Right.
And so the whole point is to exercise that brain to basically do like push-ups.
Yeah, essentially. And quick little things you can do here and there. And I enjoy it because I feel like, oh, you know, it kind of keeps me a little bit sharper, you know, and it's like, dude, when was the last time you did 100, like, quick little simple math calculations? It's been years.
Second grade.
Right, exactly. When you're trying to learn your multiplication tables, I get some wrong. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm an idiot. You know, I get 2 wrong out of 100 sometimes, and I'm like, what the hell? You know, I can't believe I screwed that up. My only issue, I guess, with the writing things down, everything seems very, very good as far as writing things down, is the 4. You have to draw the 4 in a certain way. You can't do like the 3 lines 4 with like that forms like a triangle in the upper left hand part. You have to do like a 4 with like
an open 4.
3 lines. Right, okay, yeah, thank God. I was lost there. And yeah, you have to do that or he won't recognize it. That's the only thing that's kind of a bummer about it. But you get used to that pretty quick.
And frankly, these are the valid concerns, but it is impressive the recognition that's involved here. I mean, if you think just a few years ago with like Dragon naturally speaking,
right,
you had to spend like 20 minutes calibrating it to your specific voice and the way you speak things.
Right.
And now it just kind of works.
Yeah, yeah. They did a damn good job.
So although there's some glitches, it's still impressive.
Right.
When you look at it, the big picture like that.
One of the most fun games I have played on that thing, too, is like this little, it's Count the People. And it shows you like 4 people. And then it's like, you have to remember the number 4 now. And then like a house will fall on top of it. So you can't see what's in that house now. Mm-hmm. And then people exit from the right and enter from the left. And you have to count and keep that stat in your head. So 2 just left. So there's only 2. But oh my God, 3 just came in. So there's 5 now. I just saw one guy walk out without a 4. But like a fucking chain of dudes just came in. And it's really fun. And it's just fast. And it's like, mm-hmm. bam. It even has you like read aloud like a paragraph out of some, not a paragraph, like maybe 6 or 7 paragraphs out of like a real actual book, you know.
It doesn't make you read out loud.
No, but you, yeah.
But if you can, you should.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
The point is, your brain again works differently when you're reading aloud than when you're reading in your head.
He even shows you like pictures of your like a brain that's reading aloud to show where the blood flow is going and the increased blood flow. It's really cool. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a bunch of little games. It even has like a Sudoku built into it, which I had never played before in my life, but I keep hearing people talking about it. And on the main screen, if you actually click Sudoku, it throws you right into the game. I mean, there's no like going over the rules over and over and over or anything. I don't know where that issue might come up. I guess if you hit quick play, it's kind of retarded, but that's intended to play against other people. It's kind of stupid, I think. That's just me personally, though. But if you just hit, there's like a whole giant thing. It's the biggest option on the front page, in fact, on the title screen says Sudoku. It's the biggest one. You click that, and there's quite a few different ones that you can play through.
There's 100, I think.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Is there really?
I think there's 100 puzzles. I think so.
Holy shit. I didn't think there was that many, but okay, wow. So even when you do quick play, they're like simpler because more of it's filled in.
Right.
You know, but if you just click on Sudoku, it doesn't make you walk through the instructions again, you know, after that first time, and you can just play a very fun, large game of this, and I don't know.
It gets tough.
I don't like it that much.
Sudoku gets
I don't find it to be fun.
Well, sure.
So, I mean, it fits the game, though. It fits what it's trying to do, you know. So, and that motherfucker asked me what I had for dinner last night. I could not answer it. Lucky I said it out loud, and I was stumped for so long, my girlfriend told me what I had. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I forgot. Oh, Jesus.
The best part is, in a random amount, about a month from now, he's going to ask you what you had
a couple days ago. That's bizarre. This is so cool. It even keeps track of what you're doing. It has, like, graphs and stuff to show how you answer it on every day and whatnot. It's really fun, and it's only $20. However, I gave it 15 out of 20. The voice recognition and the handwriting recognition isn't perfect, and it's something that relies on it. It's just like a flaw. It's like bad controls.
Right.
So I had to hit it pretty hard, so it lost a quarter of its score because of the bad, basically, controls to it. But it's still worth it. It's awesome. It's really fun. I couldn't believe it. I was like, well, I'm going to get it because it's free, and I was curious about it anyway. But, you know, I was like, eh, and I didn't buy it. You know, you notice that? It was like one of the few games I didn't pick up when I was buying them left and right. And I was just like, well, eh, kind of on the fence. Oh, it's free. Worth it. Worth it. It was worth buying.
Yeah, you know, we really don't know how much it actually helps, but it can't hurt.
Right. No, exactly.
The brain, just like anything else, needs to be exercised to work properly. And this is a decent little exercise routine.
Definitely. Definitely. The guy even tells you random ass shit, too. You're going along and you're doing the little game, and then he's like, when you're just out, like, driving around, read every billboard that you cross. Now, granted, I may have issues with reading ads on purpose. So I've kind of, on my way to work, I'll read, like, the street signs now.
Right.
Rather than billboards. But it was still, like, he throws little things out to you. You know, this little floating head tells you what to do, and it's pretty interesting. So on to a stylus-heavy game now that gets high marks here because it's just that much fun. Trauma Center Under the Knife. Basically, the entire game is played using the stylus, which is way cool because this is one of those games that is not a gimmick for the stylus. This would not be playable in any way, shape, or form without that stylus.
Or a mouse on the computer, but still it wouldn't be quite right because you're actually like cutting dudes up.
Right.
You're actually...
You're right up in there.
Bandaging them back up.
Right, yeah.
And it's a really cool puzzle game.
It's neat. Have you got to the point? Well, you're probably further than I am, though.
Probably.
Remember the one where the guy gets in like the car accident and you're going along pulling like glass out of him and you're patching him up, and then she's like, "Oh my god!" But something just happened, and like it gets all stressful. Like, holy shit, he's cut up here too, and you start fixing his ass up there.
It gets way stressful.
Dude, it is awesome. It is so cool. Like you think, oh, simple operation. I'll pull these pieces of glass out. Put some of my magic ointment on him, bandage that motherfucker up, seal him up, and we're good. Not in that order. We're good to go. But no, then all of a sudden something else happens. You got like a laser. You can zoom in on him. You can like, you have forceps, like pinch little veins and pull shit out, cut it open and pull shit out. You have to be quick, you know? And then you've got like some kind of a juice you can inject the guy with to keep his heart rate up and shit. It is wild.
And it gets effing hard.
I haven't played it that much because, like, you told me this, too, and I was like, I think you're just crazy. But no, I could not sit and play this through, like, more than, like, an operation or two at a time. I just have to put it down afterwards.
But that's that's not really a hindrance on it.
No, it is not.
It's kind of like the way it is, you know? It's just something you'd want to do just a couple times, and your heart rate's really going, and you're really stressed out, and okay, time to put this down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it really stresses you out.
It's cool.
But it's the good stress, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah. Fun stress.
Like the reason people play healers in RPGs, in MMOs.
Right, right.
It's that good stress.
It is cool. And bizarre, you know, strangely enough, it has a story. I thought it would be very weak on the story, and I thought the characters would be kind of stupid. But I'll tell you what, you know, the characters are pretty cool. You know, I'm kind of sweet on the hot nurse check, even, I think. And it's a lot of fun. You're the guy that you are is like a new doctor and whatnot, and he was kind of a show-off. And it's like, as you're going through, you know, something bad happens, you know, and like, it's like, wow, this has a story. It's like, this is really fucking cool.
There ends up being some kind of weird alien
disease and shit. Yeah, whatever the fuck, yeah. It's really cool. The characters had a personality. I mean, I don't know. I was like, this game is fat. I'm glad I got to pick that one up.
If you're looking for a game to actually use the stylus and have it not be a gimmick, this is definitely one you should consider.
Absolutely. I had to drive an hour for this game. I wanted it that bad. When I was like videos in Carson, when I was watching videos and stuff like that for it, and then you were telling me about it, I was like, I have to have this game. I have to have, like you even said, you need a stylus intensive game, because I had a bunch that weren't. And I was like, yeah, definitely. I got to put this stylus into the test. Fatness. Mm-hmm. This is way cool. I actually gave Trauma Center a 25 out of 30. It's the kind of game that's so fun. I want to play it more, but you can't. There's something wrong with it. Like, it's too stressful for something. Like, a game shouldn't fucking, like, make me sweat like that. But it's like...
But that's, like, the point.
Right. No, it's cool. You're supposed to be a doctor. It's awesome. It really does a hell of a good job.
I'm going to give this game 28 out of 30.
20 actually. Out of 30. It's worth it. No, this game is 28. Good. 28 out of 30.
Oh,
what I say.
Said 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. 28 out of 30.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
It's solid.
It really is. It's a good game. I'm afraid to say some people might have let that one slip under their radar. But... You gotta find this. You have to pick this game up and buy this. Now, one that I actually haven't really played more than like 5 minutes, but what I did play, I was pretty goddamn impressed with the execution of this game.
Right. We're talking about Kirby's Canvas Curse. Now, first off, disclaimer at the top, don't let other people watch you play this game.
Right.
You'll feel way too gay.
Right.
I mean, you're controlling a pink puffy ball with a rainbow.
Right.
And it's going to suck away a little bit of your masculinity.
It does, too.
But it's the gameplay that really matters. And basically, the idea behind this game, I think we've talked about it at least a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But in case you didn't catch that, basically the idea of the game is Kirby is just a ball. He can't move on his own, really. And he just kind of moves with inertia whichever way he happens to be going. And you draw a line under him, which has kind of like a treadmill type effect to it. It kind of pushes him in the direction that you draw the line, and you get through the course, through the level. And it gets quite hard later on. And just the way it works and everything, it's very, very solid. And if you kill enemies, you can gain their powers to do other things. Like, some may turn you into a balloon that lets you float up. Some might turn you into a spiky ball that you stick to walls.
That is cool.
Yeah.
The whole thing is played with a stylus.
Yeah, completely with the stylus.
This was amazing.
This is another one that if you're looking for something a little more platforming-ish, if you right. don't like being stressed out, but you still want a stylus-intensive game, this might be something to look out for. Very solid.
They did a damn good job with this. I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I just need to play it a little bit more just to get a better hang on it, get a feel of it, and actually really play it. I was just kind of checking it out.
Right. I would actually give this game... It's tough with 30, especially 30.
I know.
I guess so, like, every dollar means so yeah. much.
Yeah, I know.
I'll give this a 25 out of 30.
25 out of 30.
It's not a perfect game. One of the three boss types is really kind of stupid.
Yeah.
The other two boss games are quite fun. They're more like mini games than they are actual boss fights.
Right, that's, yeah, that's like, it's
like
weird.
One of the boss type dudes, it's a race, and you're in a cart, and you draw the track. And you have to collect the power-ups to make yourself go fast enough and not hit anything. And it's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, 25 out of 30, I'd
say. Okay. The next game up was Sonic Rush, one that I actually own that I actually haven't played that much of yet, basically because I'm trying to play everything else I care about. This one just seemed to be another one of the ones that was like, damn it, it's getting hard to find. And I want to play this, so I had to kind of pick it up, you know, when I saw it. It was the last one I saw, and I haven't seen one on the shelf since. Oh, well, where we went today, but there was
quite a few at Toys R Us.
Was there really?
Yeah, there was like three or four at least.
I thought there was only two. I thought I grabbed one of them.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. In any case, Sonic Rush. It's Sonic the Hedgehog. They added a new character. I can't remember what the hell she was now.
She's a pink, like, fox type.
Yeah, I can't remember what the hell she was. They even said, and I forgot. Well, whatever. Anyway, her name's Blaze. Pretty cool. I like her because, I don't know, the fire to me is way cooler. She just, like, turns into, like, this tornado of ass kick. It's pretty neat. The game is very, very fast, which is awesome because it's Sonic.
Right.
You need to go fast. It's not like the goddamn 3D Sonics where you have no control and it goes fast. This, you have control, and it goes damn fast.
It controls a lot like the originals did.
Yeah, yeah, except for with added coolness.
It does have some of the cool stuff from the 3D ones, like that dash. Like
right.
You press the button and you zoom forward instead of dropping with gravity.
Right, yeah.
In which you can run into enemies to kill them, and that's something that was in the 3D ones, I'm pretty sure, at least. that was a good addition.
Right. Now, sadly, I haven't played too much of this yet, so I have to hold back on like an
actual... I think I've played more than you,
I think you have,
yours.
I think you have, too. It's got two-player local Wi-Fi. If you don't have two carts, there's like a downloading thing. You know, when you do the download thing, it slows down like in the middle of the game because it's going so fast, which is a real negative for the multiplayer.
It does slow down both people.
Oh, right, yeah, I know.
Every time you mentioned it, I was being slowed down,
right,
too.
Right, but it sucks ass.
Right, but at least it's not just slowing down one person. That would make it unplayable.
Right, well, absolutely.
If the person with the cart was penalized,
right,
or the person without, that would be a lot worse.
On top of that, this game uses what I cannot... the dual screens is just a phenomenal idea, and it's amazing, and I could just about not imagine gaming without it now. It's weird. But, it uses it in the one way that I don't like it, mm-hmm. where it's... an extension of the screen. So it's almost like you're looking at like a PSP screen sideways with a block in the middle that you can't see.
The worst part, though, is that it calculates that space.
Right.
It includes that space as real estate of the screen.
And which sucks because you can't see what's going on.
Right. Now, I don't have as big a problem. It is a problem. It gets lost points because of it. But it does, when it's about to switch what screen you're going to be on, all the information, like how many coins right. you have and how long you've been playing and whatnot, switches to the other screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're like kind of watching that out of the corner of your eye, that'll switch and you know, okay, in the next split second, I'm going to go down there too.
Right. Okay.
And so that helps quite a bit.
I've got to get more used to this game. I want to play it, but I was hooked on New Super Mario Brothers when I picked this up. Just, I had to get it at the time. Still haven't managed to get around to it. I picked up other cool stuff now. And that brings us to Bomberman. Speaking of weird cool stuff I picked up, I wasn't so sure about this at first, but the price made me want to pick it up because it's Bomberman. Bomberman is a fun game. It's Bomberman. You know how this goes. I mean, you've played it before. Bomberman is always fun. Even if it's a computer, it's fun. And this game is actually a challenge to play at single player because of the save system. You're playing along and you save it and then it kicks you out of the game.
Mm.
So when you come back and resume your game, it removes your save game.
Ooh.
Therefore, if you fuck up and turn your DS off because you're pissed, you lost your game. Right? So you have to play through continuously with those amount of lives, which I like. It gives you challenge that way. You have to get good at it. So you're going to be playing this through quite a few times, and God knows I need the practice because I suck. The multiplayer is where this game shines, though. Bomberman is a hell of a lot of fun multiplayer, and this game lets you play 2 to 8 people locally. There is absolutely no Wi-Fi support for this game, which is the major bummer of it all.
Yeah.
However, it's a lot of fun. And you can even throw in computer guys. You know, right. So if you're playing 2 people, 3 people, 7 people, you can fill
a full game.
Right, exactly, if that's what you want. Now, another thing that I noticed that was really friggin' cool about this is it seems to me that every single multiplayer game that you could possibly do is available with one cart. I didn't see anything that looked like you would have to have two carts for, because they're all there. Mm. All the options seem to be there.
Unless there's actually more than 29 games to play.
Yeah, yeah. That would be just incredible. I can't see that.
Mm.
There's no way. Which is really cool, because then only one person needs to actually have the cart. It's a lot of fun, and I managed to pick this up for $14.21 after tax, brand new. I was stoked. Oh. But it was actually, real price was $14.99, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I actually gave this a 15 out of 15 because it was worth $15.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect game because the price was just so cheap. I mean, even without the online multiplayer, $15 for something that's actually fun single player. You can even set up those battles, like the multiplayer thing that we were doing. You can play single player.
And the computers are no slouch.
No, they're not. No, they kicked our asses on normal.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild. There was hard there, too. There was easy also, but on normal, we got stomped. But it's a lot of fun. There is no Wi-Fi, and this game would be...
Although we were both getting better. The later couple of things that we did, we were starting to at least get some kills.
Yeah. It's pretty tough, but it actually is a lot of fun, and I figured, damn, $15 for this game is well worth it, I think.
Oh, another cool thing to bring up about the multiplayer is if one of the humans, or even the computers, die, and the game's still going, you're not done.
Yeah, you can...
You can use the stylus to launch bombs out and try to kill your opponents, like whoever you want to happen to die.
Right, yeah.
Like maybe someone has too many kills and you want to be able to catch up, so you want the person that only has one kill to gain a second one.
Right.
So that the game doesn't end. So you get to choose who you try to kill, and so you can lob the bombs out.
There's even, I mean, fully configurable on the rules, too. You can set how, you know, number of games that you guys play or number of how many times a person must win for, like, the whole thing to end. You can set up if there's a, whether or not a, a skull item, which is, like, a mega bad fucking thing you can get. You can actually not have that in the games. You can set a time limit. You can set a, we didn't do this, but I saw it earlier, like a slot machine. And what it does is every person's screen rolls through a slot machine before the game starts, and depending on what random shit you got, you start with those bonuses.
Wow.
So it was really cool because, you know, it could add a little bit of randomness to it. It was pretty neat.
Plus, you don't start out just completely normal.
Totally slow as fuck, right? Yeah. Only dropping one bomb that doesn't blow up very far. Yeah, it is pretty, yeah, pretty neat that you could just kind of jump in like that. But there was courses that we didn't do also where you start out, everybody starts out 100% fully powered up too.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's wild. The first time we played that, it was nuts. Basically, the whole screen explodes constantly, and it's just like whoever died last is doing better than everybody else.
Whoever happened to not kill themselves.
Yeah, pretty much.
When you get that powerful, it's almost tough not to.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, the game's a lot of fun. I mean, I cannot imagine this with Wi-Fi support. I mean, if you could play eight people with online Wi-Fi support, holy crap. This game would skyrocket in the value, you know. But for $15 game, it's worth every penny in its current state, even without that functionality. It really is.
Now, if it was a $30 game, would it still be $15?
Probably about. I'd say probably $20.
Huh.
I would say anything higher than $20 would require some kind of internet play for that kind of a game.
Right.
Just because it gets pretty old single player. The single player is fun, though. It really is, but, like, again, this is one of those games where it's all about the multiplayer. It's that much more fun. You know, it's like Heroes of Might and Magic. I can't fucking play it single player because it's boring as all shit and the campaigns suck.
Mm-hmm.
You play against people, though, and it's the most fun you've ever had. Brings us to Tetris DS. This game here, the one that Mr. Kobar will not purchase. This is 2-10 players Wi-Fi. It's fucking Tetris, people. Okay. 2-10 players Wi-Fi online and local play. You only need one cart for a lot of people. See, that's another big thing about Bomberman. You only need one. One for a fuck ton of people to play and all kinds of shit. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So with this one, you can get one thing and play, like, you know, at least a standard Tetris still, even.
Right.
I can't actually remember. There's like six different modes. The stylus mode is pretty lame and useless. I think it's pointless and dumb. There is like a push one, which is really cool. It takes place in like a Donkey Kong type battlefield. Like, it's got his music and it's like kind of looks like a Donkey Kong level.
Mm-hmm.
And you push people either way. It uses both screens, and one of you is on the top, one of you is on the bottom.
Right.
And you try to push each other up and down.
That one actually seems like it'd be one of my favorite modes.
It's cool until you realize that, like, you can get totally fucked on it. Okay, here's the problem with it. You start building up the blocks. Like, basically, both of you meet in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and your blocks connect together. And whoever basically uses the thing first gets the points for it, and it pushes it down the other way. Now, generally, you need a totally different strategy for this, but it kind of blows because it's not that good of a strategy. Basically, whoever lays down their block first almost lost. It's weird because whoever lays down the brick first, the second player then puts his second brick next to it, but that means it's more on your side.
Right.
The guy who put the brick down first. Now, all you have to do is put down bricks as slow as possible. Okay.
Oh, right, right.
Right. Now, you never fill up one column. Never put, like, you know, when you build a Tetris, you have to use the long one.
Right.
Never put something in one whole column. Now, the other person can never build a Tetris there because it goes through, because you don't have a block there to stop it.
Mm.
Right? So, since they have the extra block on their side, basically, they have more blocks than you, they lose.
Right.
Because they can never clear any lines.
So, basically, that's kind of like taking advantage of a kind of
a flaw.
Right.
You know, now that's not to say there's no way around that. Obviously, what you would have to do is make smaller little blocks, you know, or not full four Tetris things to do it. But you're already at such a disadvantage at that point that you're almost dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really bizarre. Like, it does you no good to start clearing out single line blocks, which is all you can do, because you basically have this set of pile of bricks meeting in the middle now, which you can't clear out. So the guy who knows he's going to lose because it's more on his side because he put his thing down first and fastest. Okay, so he has to be the one to do the desperate move because he's going to lose. So in his desperate move, he lays something over that hole that the other guy will not fill.
But now
the other guy can make the Tetris out of it no matter what. Yeah, it's bullshit. I mean, it's like not fun because of that. Like, I cannot play it. I won't. It's not that much fun. Unless you play against me, who doesn't know that, and then it's actually fun.
It's a good idea, though.
Yeah, it was.
If it's not played like that.
Right. It needed something else. It needed something like maybe a timer that would push bricks in from the middle and always separate it or something. You know, like all, like something. Just one other thing to prevent that from happening. That's all it needed, and it would have been way fun. And it's cool because when you play the regular Tetris, I get so fucking tired of the music. It's the Super Mario Bros. Theme. Mm. You can't change that.
That's kind of weird. You think you'd be able to, like, skin it.
That's what I thought when I saw the box originally, actually, but no. The missions are played using something else weird, like the Zelda theme or something like that. Or maybe that's the one where you start already half-built and you have to clear the lines or something. One of them's like Zelda and stuff like that.
I think the puzzle one.
That's what I thought it was. Zelda. Was the puzzle one. The missions one,
makes
right?
Makes sense.
Right, definitely. I mean, definitely.
Zelda's a puzzle game.
However, it's Tetris.
Right.
That limits its playability right there. But they've done things to make it cool. Like, to change the default, like, or standard Tetris game, you can now hold a block. So most of the time, you know, generally you hold onto it like a four long way thing, you know, just to make sure that you can use a Tetris when you need to. That was always a big problem in other Tetrises. They added a ghost block, so you can, like, see where your block is going to drop and exactly how that's going to affect, you know, things. With it still floating in the air, you can actually see where it's going to land exactly. So it speeds the game up, and it's a good addition. And the holding the block thing takes a little getting used to, but like when you're using it, you're like, this is so sweet that I can hold this now. You know, it makes the games that much more fun. It has the online multiplayer. Now, I have noticed that I played it like the day I got it by myself, and it was like, well, that was fun, but that was Tetris. Why the fuck did I pay $30 for Tetris? Jesus, what a dumb idea that was. Okay, every day I go through that, and then every day I play it online. And I'm like cured. I'm like, oh, this is the best game. I'm so glad. It was totally worth it. The game is a blast online. And it matches up quick. Unlike Mario Kart, where you're waiting for days, Tetris, you're like, play worldwide, some random jackass, bam, you're in a game.
See, well, I wonder, like, how much that is because Tetris is a lot newer.
Yeah, I know. But as of right now, I'm loving it. You even have items. Did you say? You probably haven't seen this yet. Well, okay.
When we played with items.
Okay, right. It's neat. That's right. It's random question blocks, like from Mario Brothers, appears in some of the Tetris pieces that you get. And if you can clear a line with that question block, you get an item. And the items are fucking crazy. They totally jack up the other guy or help you. They'll take two lines off the bottom for you. They'll rearrange your opponent's fucking pieces.
That's gotta be the worst one.
Oh my god, they're really cool to get the items though. And you have to play like I think it's four players or more, and you can use items.
Unless it's
only four player. Like, I wasn't sure.
Wi-Fi. Like, you and I played, and we could do items.
Like, it was just that's right. No, okay, no, online it says four player with items.
Right.
Okay, that's right. So, it's really cool. I gave it a 25 out of 30. Just because single player, you get bored of Tetris pretty fast.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's there. It's like a standard. You can play Tetris any time of the day, but just not all day.
Admittedly, I've never been a very big Tetris fan, but I would not pay more than $20 for this, personally.
Right, I could definitely see that.
In the end, I don't think any puzzle game should be more than $20.
Okay, yeah.
That's just my, like, hard stance on it.
And play it Wi-Fi just whenever you want, and you're going to be like, oh my god, this game is bad. Now, Advance Wars. I know shit and jack and fuck about this one.
Well, and actually, I haven't played that much of it either.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Basically...
Oh, I thought it was yours.
It is.
Oh, okay.
I just haven't played it a lot.
How long have you had it?
Huh? Since the
dawn of time.
Day I started.
Oh.
It was one of the first games I bought.
Really?
But I just got other things.
Right.
And other games have come along and yada, yada, yada. But if you like Advance Wars, it's basically Advance Wars.
It's a turn-based strategy.
Right. It's Advance Wars with with a second commander.
Right.
Like, you know, in Advance Wars, when you were playing as a certain person, or at least against a certain person, they had special abilities. Like, that one blue guy with the big old coat.
With the snow thing?
Right, he was,
that's
like,
funny, that's
the
only
snow.
One I remember also, too. And he could cause, like, a blizzard or something for one round that would slow down your opponent's movement for that one round or whatever. It was pretty cool.
And so now you have two of those. And so,
right.
So you can have two people that do...
Because it's
rather,
dual.
Right. Two people that can do two rather different things... And let's say you need one of them. So, you switch which commander is actually commanding the army, and bam, you use his special
ability. That's
pretty
fucking cool, because I remember I had one guy that was really good anti-air or whatever or something.
Right.
You know, or, no, a guy that could repair shit for me fast, a kid. And you still have, like, the red whatever, the blue whatever, the yellow and the green whatever?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
Very similar game, except for that edition, all new maps, and I think probably a few new items, like new units. But it's more or less Advance Wars. It's more or less just a sequel to Advance Wars.
I would like to check out the single player for Advance Wars because I could not, or for Dual Strike anyway, because I played the original. In fact, I think I even had the second one for the Game Boy Advance Advance Wars, but I was really, really, really bothered by the way the campaigns played through. Mm-hmm. Which it kind of blew, because it seemed like if you didn't do things exactly a certain way, you could not win. Like it was predetermined. Like you had to like keep playing until you figured out what you needed to do to win, which is kind of stupid.
I've not gotten far enough Advance Wars Dual Strike to know if that happened.
Okay, it didn't happen right away in the other one. Like there was some play there. You could experiment. You could do whatever you wanted. Right. Yeah. And then at some point in later on maps, it was like you would do them over and over and over. And it wasn't like your strategy was bad. It wasn't like you were not
the wrong strategy.
Right. Not even the wrong strategy. It was like the wrong every single move. It was bizarre. I mean, it was like seriously, you got to get from here to here in X amount of time. Or you lose because they build, you know, one super tank that just beats your... I mean, there was too many things where it was like, you have no choice. Mm-hmm. You have to take the shortest path every time to do whatever weird thing it was they wanted to... I don't know, it just seemed like it was scripted.
Right.
Backwards, though. You know, like, they figured, okay, we want the player to do C, B, and A to win this. Then they would build the map around that. So you would have to do it A, B, C to win. You could not, you know... Like, if you like using jets, you couldn't do that because you would lose, because it wasn't how it was supposed to play, which bothered me to no end. The map creation thing is fat, though. And on the DS, you can actually use the stylus, I guess, to use it, which is way cool.
You can also use the stylus to actually play.
Oh, nice. Okay. And is there... and you can play the computer on those maps that you create?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And is there hella shit to buy? Like, there was, like, a store in the other one. You could buy maps to play. You could buy, maybe colors or something.
I honestly don't know. Like I said, I've played maybe...
Oh, okay.
I played this once while I was waiting for my breaks.
Oh, okay. Now, see, this game actually gets really good reviews everywhere. And a turn-based strategy game is fun, particularly because everything on here is the same. They're balanced. Mm-hmm. They're even. What sets you apart is, you know, how good are you and... Are you using your commander's special abilities? Which I think is way fun. I mean, this game cannot go wrong, but it's on my... list, because I really disliked the campaigns that much in the original ones.
Right, but you and I sitting here playing it sometime might be a lot of fun.
Goddamn blast. Right, that might be incredible, which is, you know, great. Now, does it have any kind of Wi-Fi support?
I don't think so.
Okay, and how many people can you actually play at the same time?
8.
Really?
That's what the case says, yeah.
Wow.
That must be a pretty damn big map.
No shit. Yeah, maybe it got bumped up a notch, but I have to check this out. I mean, I don't think it's exactly scarce yet either. Like, I've seen it around a lot of stores, I think.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty sure, come to think of it, that Mario Kart was the first Wi-Fi game.
Oh, okay.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
And this was
And so anything close. Before Mario Kart
Oh, this was before
not.
Mario
oh,
Kart.
I think so.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I don't see the little logo randomly placed on the box. Nintendo's awesome notification of this is a Wi-Fi game. It's random placement of a blue... No,
I'm really hoping that they put a Fire Emblem on the DS.
Oh, God. Aren't they? Didn't we read something about that?
I can't imagine they're not. Fire Emblem is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Mario, but it's a very big title for Nintendo.
I'm really looking forward to... Well, I don't know. There's a couple games that looked pretty cool, though. Like, you were looking at that Mario Mini...
March of the Minis.
March of the Minis.
Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Right.
The Nintendo Advanced, Game Boy Advanced.
God. Jesus. Game Boy Advance, right.
Yeah. That version was really cool. It was kind of like a puzzly, really crazy levels, and you had to get to Donkey Kong, like in Donkey Kong, the game.
There's a Zelda game coming out, Phantom Hourglass.
Ugh.
There's, yeah, I know. Ugh. You said you watched a video of it.
Yeah, I watched a 20-minute video of someone playing it at E3. 12 minutes of that was sailing.
Jesus God.
I didn't think it was going to be like that. I didn't think they would make a game like that again, but there it was.
Castlevania Portrait of Ruin.
Yep.
Could be another worthy Castlevania game.
Star Fox.
Star Fox Command. Could be worthy. I'm not sure. I'm putting my money on Nano Stray. That game looks fucking fat. I can't. This is like shoot 'em up. Like, I love this kind of stuff. Like Ikaruga, you know, the 1942, 1943, those kind of. I love this. It's fun. You know, R-Types, the Raidens, all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Life Force, etc. on the friggin' Game Boy. DS, I mean. You know, this looks pretty cool. I mean, I've heard that it's not too long, but they give you unlimited continues, but there's, you know, difficulty settings, missions that are kind of hard, and it looks fat. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's fun. And you know what? Those kind of games are fun even if you've beaten them before, because it doesn't mean you're going to be able to sit down and beat it next time you play, because they are hard. They are fun. So I'm thinking I'm going to pick that one up probably next. But so, I mean, that's a pretty solid chunk of games to look forward to or pick up. You know, I mean, if you're looking for, you know, certain things to play. I think we did a pretty good job here. We got to get going, though. Our time is up.
All right. Well, the overall point, if you don't have one, you need to freaking get a DS.
You do. You do. You definitely do.
I never game outside of my house or at a C4's house. Just don't do it. I'm too busy when I'm out of the house.
Right.
And it's still worth every penny.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember just maybe a year ago even, all I said was, God, I can't see the use of a freaking portable system. Anyway, I never use, well, changing my job, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, you know, maybe I could squeeze this in, and now it's like, I haven't fired up, like, a game other than Grid Wars on my computer in days now. It's been weeks.
And I forced you to do that.
Weeks! Yeah, you did. It's been, holy crap, it's been like 3 weeks, I think, since I've even turned on a computer-based game.
Ooh.
That's a long time, considering that's all I did for the last couple of years, essentially.
And that's basically when I let you borrow mine.
Yeah. That killed it right there. Awesome. I mean, the DS is a fantastic gaming machine. Absolutely. I still say if you're bigger into, like, maybe the emulation and some of the weird, crazy things, that I think the PSP is king. You know? And so you gotta kind of make the call. But the DS has that many good games out that it's like, I'm looking at, like, 15 games I want to buy, and that very well may be all I ever purchase for it. But that's okay. That's still less than a PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
With no games.
Well, I will admit I would love the idea of, like, merging the two.
Right.
Like,
okay, yeah.
PDSP.
Totally.
You have the two giant screens, one of them's touch.
An analog stick in the right spot.
Yeah.
And
all that crazy functionality.
And yeah.
It'd be like $500.
Yeah, but it'd be sweet though. Alright.
Later.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a perfect game, but it was absolutely worth it.
It was